A group of prophets met him. The Spirit of God suddenly took control of him, and right there in the middle of the group, he began prophesying. Some people had known Saul for a long time, saw that he was speaking and behaving like a prophet. And they said to each other, "What's happening? How can Saul be a prophet?" The people ran and got Saul and brought him into the middle of the crowd. He was more than a head taller than everyone else. "Look closely at the man the Lord has chosen," Samuel told the crowd. "There is no one like him." The crowd shouted, "Long live the king!" Samuel explained the rights and the duties of a king and wrote them all in a book. He put the book in a temple building at one of the places where the Lord was worshipped. Then Samuel sent everybody home. God had encouraged some young men to become followers of Saul. And when he returned to his hometown in Gibeah, they went with him. But some worthless fools said, "How can someone like Saul rescue us from our enemies?" They did not want Saul to be their king. And so they didn't bring him any gifts. But Saul kept calm. In the Old Testament, when a prophet went up and anointed somebody with oil, that meant the Holy Spirit's going to come on you to be one of three things. So if you got anointed with oil, you were going to be a king, you were going to be a prophet, or you were going to be a priest. And so when a prophet comes up, anoint you with oil, it's signifying the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit's coming to be one of those three things. But the Old Testament made it really, really clear. No human being, no one but Yeshua HaMashiach, no one but the Christ could be all three things at once, king and prophet and priest. And so in the Old Testament, people get anointed, the power of God comes on them, they prophesy, it's evidence of the power of God, but no individual in the Old Testament can be all three things, king, priest and prophet. Only the Messiah was allowed to be that. And the Holy Spirit comes on Saul, he begins to prophesy. And people form around them, a group of people, and they go to a hill, a place called Gibeah. In the same way in the New Testament, when Jesus is baptized by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on him for ministry. And a group of disciples is formed around him. Ultimately, he heads off to another hill, a hill called Calvary. There are so many parallels between this story and Jesus' story, the Christmas story. Notice again verses 26 to 27. God had encouraged some young men to become followers of Saul. And when he returned to his hometown, and Gibeah means mountain, they went with him. But some worthless fools said, "How can someone like Saul rescue us from our enemies?" They did not want Saul to be their king, and so they didn't bring him any gifts. But Saul kept calm. Do you know, in that first Christmas, there were a whole lot of people who said, "We're not going to bring him gifts. We're not going to go and see the baby. We're not going to give Jesus any gifts." And I would never say worthless people of anybody today. That's extremely incorrect and dangerous to talk like that. But there were people then and people today who knew of the Christ child, knew of the prophecies, and made no attempt to go there. The wise men, history books suggest there were seven, but they brought three types of gifts. Traveled for about 18 months following a star. And they get to Herod's palace. And in Herod's palace, there are people that know Bible prophecy. There are scribes, there are Pharisees, there are teachers, people who understand all the prophecies about Messiah. And they said, "Look, where is this Christ child? Where is the king going to be born?" And those in the house, in the household of Herod, knew about Numbers 24. Numbers 24 that says that when God the Son is born, when a new king is born, there will be a star, a sign in the heavens. And it also says in Micah 5:2 that the child will be born in Bethlehem. So they come after 18 months of travel and say, "Where is the king to be born? Where is this new king? We've seen his star." These are people, wise men, astronomers from the east. These are not Hebrew people. And they get told, "Look, he's just 8 kilometers down the road in Bethlehem. That's where he's meant to be born." What happens next? You would think that the scribes, you'd think that Herod, you'd think that his household would say, "Let's go and have a look. Hey, it's 8 kilometers down the road." But they don't. They hear the story that a Christ child has been born. They hear wise men seeking after the star, and they think, "Crikey, we're just going to put our feet up on the couch. We're going to watch Shortland Street and just relax. Why bother going to see? Why bother going 8K down the road to check out this potential Messiah? And they brought him no gifts. The wise men left. Oh, they took gifts to Jesus. How did they know he was so special? How did they know from a different religion, a different country, so far away, this child would split history? How did they know that? But they were wise and they took gifts to Jesus. And there were a whole lot of people on that day that said, can God really change anything with a baby? I mean, really? Can a baby really make that much difference? Look, we can't be bothered. We're going to sit on our couch. We're going to drink coffee. We'll just chill out and have a relaxing day instead. And they couldn't be bothered walking just 8K down the road. There were people in Samuel's day that were called foolish. They brought no gifts to Samuel, to Saul, the new king. And people in Jesus' day did the same. And I want to suggest to you that people today did the same thing as well. You know, there are over 400 prophecies about the Christ child in the Old Testament, from where he'd be born right through to how he'd die. 400. Jesus fulfilled them all. Jesus split history. Over half the world's values are based on Christianity. Half the world have their legal system and their values based on Christianity. There are now billions of people that would say, my life has been totally changed because of Jesus. And some people go, oh, whatever, not even curious. I'm staying on the couch. And they bring him no gifts today. A month ago, my little granddaughter, Anna, and I were walking up to school. I was taking her to a classroom. And as we walked along the playground, we saw something really peculiar. At least she thought it was, written in chalk on the asphalt there. It was Merry Xmas. She said, Granddad, what is that? Xmas. Jesus, shouldn't it be Christmas? I said, honey, people are trying to pretend Jesus wasn't real, even though there's more written about him than anybody else in the world. People are trying to pretend that Christmas is not about Jesus. And so they put Xmas in so as not to offend anyone. It's crazy. Nowadays, people say happy holidays. I heard of some situations in America recently where people were banned in the workplace for sending Christmas cards to other people if it had the word Christ on it. I heard of a calendar producer who wrote the words Christmas on December the 28th on the calendar and was prosecuted for being, you know, a bigot or something, you know, one-eyed, being insensitive to other people. What's the world coming to? Some people look at Christ and Christmas and go, we couldn't care. I give him any gifts. What difference can a baby make? And it's foolishness. It's foolishness. And you know, I want to say to you this morning, you're like those wise people on that first Christmas, for the very fact that you're here. You're like those wise people. Those wise people brought him three gifts, gifts of gold. Gold's a gift you give kings. And how did they know he was a king? From a different culture, from a different religion. How did they know he was a king? They gave him gold. They gave him frankincense. Frankincense is a gift you give priests. In the temple days, they would burn frankincense as part of the worship. And beautiful, pure puffs of smoke would go up and aroma would fill the place. That's what you gave priests. And they gave him myrrh. Myrrh is what you give people that are dead or are going to die. How would you give a baby myrrh? The greatest prophecy Jesus ever gave was this. He said, I've come to die, and one day I'll be killed, and 3 days later I'll be raised to life again. Amazing prophecy. And somehow these wise men from the east knew to give him gifts for a king, gifts for a priest, and gifts for a prophet. Only Messiah can hold all three offices. And somehow these people from a different religion, a different part of the world knew to give him those appropriate gifts. I want to suggest to you this morning, friends, in a world that says Merry Xmas, Happy Holidays, and they try and take the Christ child out of Christmas, I want to suggest to you, you've brought Jesus the same three gifts as the wise men in those days, in that first Christmas. Revelations chapter 1 is one of my favorite pictures in the Bible. It's a picture of Jesus walking amongst the churches, and they're represented by seven golden lampstands. And the churches, people together to fellowship, to love the Lord, are seen as golden lampstands. It's golden to him. You know, in the New Testament, there's no such thing as a Christian who's not connected with a church, with fellowship. No such thing. That's a modern thing that people have made up. Seven lampstands made of gold. And Jesus walks amongst these seven lampstands representing all the churches, all the gathered people of all Christianity, of all time. And he walks amongst the lampstands. That's where he loves to be. You know what scripture says? That when you get together to worship, it's like gold to him. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1 says that when you love God and you have faith in God, faith, that kind of faith, trusting in Jesus, that's like gold to him too. So the very fact that you came here, you took time out from the chickens and the turkeys and the presents and all the busyness of the season to spend an hour honouring the Christ child, to get together with Christians. You brought gold to Jesus this morning. You're one of those wise people. They brought him frankincense, a gift for a priest. Revelation chapter 5, it talks about in that eternal temple in heaven that frankincense will be burnt, and the frankincense is the prayers and the praise of the children of God. What does that mean? That means that when you and I take time out to come to church and we offer prayers and we offer praise to the Christ child, we're bringing him frankincense as well. That's frankincense to him. So by being here, you've brought him gold. By praying and worshiping, you've given him frankincense. Well, what about myrrh? What about myrrh? Myrrh is the gift you give someone who's going to die. It's for the prophet who's going to die. It's a crazy thing. Imagine going to a baby shower and saying, here's some myrrh. Well, here's a mini coffin. It'd just be, you wouldn't be really loved at that point, would you? It's a strange thing to give, but it's a gift you give a prophet. And I believe every single time that Christians get together and they remember what Christ has done, whether it's communion, whether it's fellowship, whether it's church, whether it's Bible study, every time we pause and we say, listen, God the Son left his glory in heaven and he came to be born as a baby, to live a perfect life, to die in your place and my place. Every time I remember the reason for this season and what Christ has done, I'm giving him myrrh and you're giving him myrrh this morning. So I want to say this to your friends before we sing our last carol. Wise people give him gifts. And in Samuel's day, in Saul's day, people didn't give that king gifts. In Jesus' day when he was born, people said, oh, can't be bothered walking 8K down the road, taking time out to honour the Christ child. And today people do the same thing, but not you. I want to honour you this morning. I believe by coming, I believe by pausing, I believe by having fellowship together, by praying, by remembering what Christ has done, why he came. You've brought him gold, you've brought him frankincense, and you've brought him myrrh. We're going to stand for our last Christmas carol this morning, and I'll get to our spontaneous worship team to come at the front. Now, this song has got an extra bridge in it as well. So it's Joy to the World, and there's a little bit added on, but we'll pick it up as we go. So if those same volunteers could volunteer once more, I'd be grateful. I just love having kids in church, by the way, friends. I absolutely do. Just awesome. Family is what we are. Would you stand, please? Graham, if you can put that last carol up for us, that'd be great. Watch out for the bridge. We'll be okay.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
We'll turn it up a little bit more, Graham.
Every heart prepare him room,
and heaven nature see.
Heaven and nature see, and heaven and heaven and nature see. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
celebrate.
Joy, unspeakable joy.
Let's bow our heads and pray, eh? Thank you, Father.